with that said, I think I covered the bases, haven't I, on that angle of it, Paul?
I think you have connected many dots that people want to know, and how far along are they? We've had this war on terror. How do you fight a war on terror? How do you fight that war against an idea? You don't. They're turning us all into death slaves who go through airports and security systems, and what we type on our computers is recorded. What we say on our phone calls is recorded. They really know about everything about us.
I might add to that real quick. I guess that Bill Binney, that was the NSA guy that helped create some of the software stuff. He was on Russian TV, folks, RTV.com, yesterday, apparently, and I'll try to get the video up on my site, but apparently he was talking about how this is all interconnected way back 30, 40 years ago. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I bring up Wernher von Braun because he kind of connects us before World War II, and he had a four-part plan that was the alien agenda. You suggested first there was going to be a war on terror. They were going to create terrorism, and it would be an enemy that we couldn't fight because it's an idea. Then he suggested that the Soviet Union would have a fake collapse. And after that fake collapse, he said World War III would be created by a series of false flags. And finally, Wernher von Braun said the alien agenda would be exposed when there was the alien invasion. Now, some have called that Project Blue Beam, not Blue Book. Do you have any insights to what von Braun had to say or a response to that?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of them that have been plotting this agenda for a number of years and bringing about these new world order games, they call it, okay? Daddy Bush crowd and all the crap. But I mean, you know, if you look at the most, that I kind of point out a lot more recent times is Wolfowitz, who was Assistant Secretary of Defense underneath Daddy Bush. And he wrote his Greater Israel plan, okay? Which encompasses it. What it does, folks, it destroys all the countries around Israel, and it hands over the oil to Daddy Bush and his five sister oil companies, the largest in the world, and Henry Kissinger and gang. All 12 of them are involved in all the five sisters. Now, if you do the core structure and dig back in, you find it all. Here's the deal. I'm kind of losing thoughts. Greater Israel plan is to leave Israel intact. It will be the capital of the world, the Antichrist, and they'll control all the oil in all the countries around them. Now, they've taken over Egypt, they've taken over Iran, I mean not Iran, but Afghanistan, Iraq, thank you, Joe, Egypt, and you know, they had a revolution. I'm going to tell you something about revolution. I'm going to inject this right now. Egypt, people made a big mistake. They grabbed them all. They threw the cops into prisons. They released the prisoners. They were part of the revolution. They freed up Egypt, and they went right for the president. And they got stopped right there, and they're all on video. What ended up happening within 6 months to a year after they changed the presidency, but he escaped. Every one of them were videoed, and they were either killed and or put in prison for the rest of their life for being involved in the revolution. So I want Americans to remember that. Okay? You don't end it and stand at the White House. If we make the arrest, we have total control again. Here's the point. All of Israel, they want that, the New World Order. And I want Joe to jump in here for a minute with us, because they got Saudi Arabia. It's nothing but a bunch of baby molesters. If you take the Saudi royal family, the one that built Daddy Bush's caveman, Batman cave, up in Aspen, Colorado, directly behind John Denver, the singer's house, okay? That was the one that had the castle down below there on the highway going up to Aspen in the middle of the road. A big house, about 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 square feet, I would estimate. He was the Saudi royal family in charge of security. He built Daddy Bush, this Batman cave. If you go drive the road up to Aspen Lake up there, you see on the left side, on the north side, the back end of the Batman cave, where the wall opens up, but you can't tell it. But it's got a two-lane road running up to it. That was an example. That Saudi royal family was picking up kids, folks. I know this. Not seeing it firsthand. The people that saw it happen. There's a place called Beatty, Nevada. A pilot, a helicopter pilot, flew a guy in the 80s out there, or the 90s, to Beatty, Nevada from Las Vegas. His name was Packard. Hewlett Packard Corp., the computer terrorist. He built a place in Las Vegas, a little nightclub type deal on the strip someplace. That's the one. Hewlett, with one name, Packard is the other. I forgot which one it was. He flew him out there. He flew him out a second time, a week later, on a Wednesday night. He thought, what's this about? But the guy didn't come out. Half an hour later, he finally shut the helicopter down because he had it running. Shut it down, he walks over the door, knocks on the door, and a big guy comes to the door, and he says he could see 50 to 100 kids in there, running around in diapers, some of them naked, shitting all of themselves and everything else, kidnap kids, folks. That's where they take them to get them up to the alien base where the aliens got their million kids. But who was down there selecting kids? This little Packard character. So I started digging on that place. Found out that, oh, well, the Saudi royal family, that's where they picked the kids up at. Now, they got blonde hair, blue eyes, and they're supposedly Saudi Arabian royal family, 10, 12 wives each. That place needs an enema, okay? I mean, the whole Middle East, they want to make Israel capital of the world. Now, Joe, I want you to touch in on this about, you're aware that the Genome Factor, they called it, a university of, here in America, a professor that was Hebrew, did a study. It was on my website, but they've taken it off of Google. And he explained that he did a DNA study that 8 out of 10 of the Palestinians are true Hebrew from biblical times. Bloodline, 8 out of 10. He found out that 8 out of 10 living in Israel that call themselves Jews are not of the Hebrew tribes at all. Only 20% of them are. 80% of them are not. Joe, you want to jump in on that for a minute?
Well, it's just simple. It's a theory, but in my opinion, Aaron Ehrlich, who was the geneticist out of Johns Hopkins, is the one that did the study. And it's a definitive study, and he originally did it for the Israeli Antiquities Department. And they wanted to trace the ancestors of the Ashkenaz. And he did. And what he found out was what Benjamin Friedman said, that the modern Jew of today is a Jew, not a Hebrew. They are a descendant from a group of people called the Khazars. However, you get within the white nationalists.
In Ukraine today, in that region of the Ukraine.
Let me keep this going, because I don't want to lose the train of thought on this. You get a big argument with that within what we call the white nationalist movement. And there's a pro and a con. But what you're talking about is a study done by Aaron Ehrlich, a geneticist, and found the genome, and what he found out was 80% of the, quote, Jews were Ashkenaz. That's the best way to understand it. They were not related to the old Hebrew. That's the theory. Now, Aaron Ehrlich still maintains that he's correct, but he gets big argument from other people for obvious reason, because what it does, it takes away from the claim that the Jew has a right to this land because they are the descendants of the old Hebrews. So then you have on the other side some people that are against it because you have the question of what is called decide. And decide is when Jesus Christ was being tried, the Jews at the time, I'll just use the word Jew at the time, said, give us Barabbas, let his blood be upon our hands for generation and generation. It's called decide. In other words, God's curse. So you get a lot of argument that goes on, but what Stu was talking about was from Aaron Ellick, who was a geneticist out of Johns Hopkins, did a study for the Israeli Antiquities Department, and what he found was is that the majority of the Ashkenaz, which makes up the majority of Israel, were not the old Hebrew. They were Khazars. Now, I'm not saying that that's correct, but that's the theory.
Joel, just to be slightly contentious, we have Abraham, the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
And we know there were 12 or 13 tribes. The tribe of Dan eventually got excommunicated or excluded. Those 12 tribes migrated. And we know by the time of David and Solomon that we really are down to three tribes, which is Judah and Benjamin, and then the part of Levi.
Yeah.
What about those lost 10 tribes? Could the Khazarians be part of those lost 10 tribes?
That's a good point. And that question was asked. And in my reading, it wasn't clear. In other words, I didn't find a definitive answer for it. That is a good question. But from what my understanding of the diaspora, there were the tribes that went to the east, even as far as China.
Yes.
And there were individual tribes that went all the way to Africa. There were individuals from the different tribes. And then there were those that went to the west. And that's where you get into what we call Jacob's prophecy. When he was dying, he gave a prophecy for each of his 12 sons. His favorite was Benjamin and Joseph, who had two sons. And those two sons were Ephraim and,
Manasseh.
And he gave a prophecy on them, and the prophecy just said that they would become very powerful many, 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 many years later. And many people attribute that to being England and the United States. England and the United States. And from that, there is where you get into the story of the United States, story of manifest destiny, because the United States was to become, according to those people at that time, that is in the United States at that time, it was to be the new Jerusalem. Genesis 48, 8 through 22. Genesis 48, 8 through 22. And Manasseh was the United States. Ephraim was England. And to this day, if you go to England and in Hyde Park, you'll see Cleopatra's Needle. That needle is a monument in the shape of a tall pyramid, thin pyramid, and that represents Ephraim, which became England. And if you go to Central Park, you will see the Manasseh Monument, and it is dedicated to Manasseh.
Fascinating. Yes. We're talking eschatology now, and Stu, you had mentioned earlier that the alien agenda is depopulation. They want us dead. And I've come to the conclusion that it all goes back to Genesis, and specifically Genesis 3, where Satan promises immortality if humans will eat from the tree of the fruit. And really, the biggest agenda is not just the New World Order, not just Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, but rather transhumanism. And so the real final agenda, alien agenda, is transhuman, no longer human, immortal. And Pierre de Teilhard Chardin wrote a book called The Omega Point, and he announced way back probably in the 1960s that we were on the cusp of achieving that immortality. And I guess I turn back to you guys to respond to that aspect of the military-industrial complex and their relationship with the fallen ones.
Okay, let me interject this because it really needs a refocusing. And refocusing is simply this. Eating of the tree of knowledge, it was actually a word, enosh. And what enosh meant was not so much an eating of a tree of knowledge. It was interacting with the fallen angel alien, as I call it, the alien, but the fallen angel alien. And what happened was, is that when Eve was seduced by the serpent, again, the word serpent, and then you go into the old Book of Enoch, particularly the one that comes out of the Slavonic, the word is this. The fallen angel alien takes a serpentine form. Now let that roll around in your head again. The fallen angel alien takes a serpentine form. That is why in the book of Genesis, Eve interacted with the fallen angel alien and produced Cain. I'll say
now,
that
some
again.
Some would call that the Sethite theory. Is that correct?
The what?
The Sethite theory?
Yes, there is. Yes, you could
Cain
say that.
And Abel have different fathers, so you have...
That's right.
Adam.
And what it does, Paul, it goes, what I have found is, it comes down to a punctuation of a semicolon. And it should have been that then Adam slept with his wife Eve and produced Abel. And the reason that Cain slew Abel is because he was half fallen angel alien.
And he became the firstborn to kill his brother.
And so then, there is where you get the beginning of the war in the heavens between the seed of Cain and the seed of Abel.
Now, Noah, God decided, I'm going to clean it up with water one time to get rid of this bad seed, but the human race keeps mating with this stuff. Now, this is just a theory. Possibility that a lot of the fallen angel bloodline, in my opinion, down here on the planet right now, and a lot of it's in Israel, and a lot of it's in Ukraine, the old area. Why is it that Zola Beast and all of them have just this Ukrainian thing? Russia never invaded Ukraine. They pulled up to the border because it was part of their old territory and said, stop your crap yourself. So they left it up to the people. Who was in there? I had somebody over there, folks. I don't want to say they're getting killed. It was a whistleblower hiding out from way back. Look, Jed Gutterson and that whole cop bit out there in Los Angeles apart. But he told me because I was getting communication from him. He was talking to me. He said when they first started their craft, the Clintons and all of them, sending in their CIA boys, he started raping the little 14, 15-year-old girls, and then they'd drag them out naked, and they'd pour gasoline on them in the streets, and they'd catch it on fire to cause chaos in the Ukraine. And Hildebeest, a.k.a. Hillary Clinton, was the one who was secretary of our country, of state, who was pushing this agenda.
Okay,
something about that bloodline that comes out of there. Something, but Joe, I want you to expand upon that.
Because if we don't go back to what we were talking about, the folks that are listening will get lost on this because we're jumping from the story of Cain and Abel. Just remember that what it simply means is that there is the seed line of Cain. There is the seed line of Abel. And good guy, bad guy. The bad guy influenced by the fallen angel alien. And what you do is, folks, is that you go in order the book titled Fallen Angels, The Origins of Evil by Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Now, I'm not pushing her particular cult group, but I have about five copies of the Book of Enoch, and this is the best copy. So I would, if you want to get into this and really do the research on it, you have to have the book, The Fallen Angels, The Origin of Evil by Elizabeth Clare Prophet. It's not a very expensive book.
There are a number of translations to the Book of Enoch, and I have read several of the translations, and the Book of Enoch is what we call a book from the Apocrypha, and originally it was in the King James Bible, but it was one of the 14 books that is no longer included. How controversial do you think your position, Joel, is on the Sethite theory? I know my experience in church is I've never been taught that. I've certainly been exposed to it. Where do you put it in terms of controversial?
Oh, it's just one of the theories of, because when you take it back to the Khazar theory, because it ends up in the Khazar theory. The person who brought that forward was Benjamin Friedman, and he was one of the insiders after World War I, which just gave away Germany and really put him into a hurting position, which was done on purpose. But he's one of the earlier ones that said that the modern so-called, he said these words, the so-called self-styled Jew. And there is a guy by the name of Gary Ween who produced a nice little explanation of the word Jew. It is really a Yiddish word composed of Hebrew letters with German sounds. I'll say that again so we don't lose people. The word Jew is a Yiddish word, okay, that was composed of German sounds with Hebrew letters. So, taking this back to Cain and Abel, I personally believe that particular theory, but I'd get a lot of argument from certain white nationalists that would disagree with that. Now, I can produce a little bit of evidence in my favor in that if you take a look at Genesis 1:1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. Then Genesis 2, and deepness and darkness was on the face of the deep. Genesis 2. There is
Genesis
two
1,
words.
2.
Pardon?
Genesis
1:2.
Yes,
Genesis 1:2. So, there are two words, to who and to hey. And what Genesis 1-2 should say, the earth became desolate, and desolation was upon the face of the earth. So with those words, what it says is that earth was in existence, but it became desolate. Now, you think upon that. That's an important point. It's called the gap theory.
Yes.
And I took that to a fluent Hebrew speaker who was half Israeli. And he said, yes, many of us Jews believe in this. Now, that was stunning to me. In other words, there was pre-existent earth. Now, where does this fit into all of the things? Well, within certain speakers, it says, and fits very well into this gap theory, that there was the pre-existent earth, and that there was the fabled land of Atlantis and Lemuria. And the earth is much, much older than what we have been taught to believe. Now, that is a real pondering thing to think about.
Well, you have two narratives. You have the 6,000-year-old earth, a pretty standard biblical narrative, but then you also have science that says 4.2 billion or 14 billion years. And then there's the Sumerian Table of Kings that indicate that maybe humans have been in existence in some form between maybe 28,000 and 200,000 years. There's a lot of different theories about where we came from, but we do know that civilization seemingly rose from nowhere in Sumeria or Sumer about 6,000, 7,000 years ago.
Let me put this out to you. Are you familiar with